is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Next on News for the Soul, it's time for the Whole Health Initiative with Dr. Holly. With more degrees than a thermometer, Dr. Holly's PhDs include psychology, natural medicine, herbal medicine, nutrition, and Ayurveda. She's a scientist, professional speaker, and the author of over 20 books. She also sees and works with energy, and she's here to help you achieve complete optimum health. Please welcome Dr. Holly back to News for the Soul.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday, July 20th. I hope you're having a good day. I'm Dr. Holly, and this is the Whole Health Initiative. We've been going through the alphabet. We're only up to G, so we just started this a while ago. Every week, we identify a topic in medicinal medicines, whether it be a disease, a disorder, or dysfunction, and we go through and try to identify what are the symptoms, what are the causes, what are the treatments, how can we handle it. Then from that, we go to a question and answer period. So the producer, Nicole, she gives us a selection of questions that come in every week. And then we do the last part on gardening, which hopefully ties in with what the initial medicinal item was in the first place. So let's take it from here. We're going to talk about gout today. Now, technically, I could have included gout in the article we did on arthritis because gout technically is an arthritic condition. However, it is significantly different, so let's go through and just understand it. What are the symptoms of gout? Well, often gout can come on really suddenly. Like you can wake up in the middle of the night and all of a sudden have a gout attack. It comes along with a lot of swelling and redness and tenderness, obviously, and pain. Now, the most common place to get a gout attack is in the big toe. However, you can get it in a variety of other joints, like your ankles, your knees, your elbows, your fingers, your wrists, etc. Typically, in the first event, the pain can last anywhere between 4 to 12 hours, and then it will subside. But as subsequent events come up, they become more and more frequent, they can last for longer and longer periods of time, and eventually the joint will decrease its ability for flexibility. Okay, so what causes it? Well, gout is typically associated with an increase in uric acid. The body uses uric acid to break down purines, which are found in a number of foods, but are also used to make your DNA and RNA. If you have an excess of purines, then the body can form what's called urate crystals. So in a healthy body with a healthy diet, the uric acid, I should say, with a healthy diet out of your garden, the uric acid will dissolve in your blood. It will then pass through the kidneys and exit out with your urine. However, if your body produces too much uric acid or your kidneys are unable to excrete the uric acid from the blood, then you can get a buildup and your body can start forming urate crystals. Again, these crystals can collect in various joints. And if it's in the feet, it will feel like you're walking on crushed glass. It is really painful. Other causes that have been attributed to it include things like high exercise, or lack of exercise rather, and the high alcohol consumption, as well as stress. It's amazing how many things stress is related to. Okay, so what do we need to look at is what makes the body most inclined to have an excess of uric acid? Well, first, of course, we have to look at the diet. And that is why it used to be referred to as a Richmond syndrome. People, typically males who were overweight, who could afford a really big diet of red meat and shellfish, often suffered from gout. So it was referred to as the Richmond syndrome. However, we now know that beverages sweetened with fructose can also increase uric acid. Increased alcohol consumption, and in particular beer, can increase uric acid. Medical conditions, such as high blood pressure and other chronic cardio issues, as well as various other chronic conditions like diabetic issues, again, cardio issues, and kidney issues can cause high uric acid. In the opposite level, if you want, or direction, the uric crystals can also cause kidney stones. So not only can we cause problems but with the uric acid causing issues, but now the uric acid causing the crystals can also cause stones. Pharmaceutical drugs can play a role as well. For instance, low-dose aspirin used for the heart, which has never actually been proven. The first article that came out that said to use low-dose aspirin to prevent a heart attack actually was misedited. It should have read, do not use, as opposed to do use. And yet it's been in the medical arenas ever since that was up 40, 50, 60 years. And it was actually a misprint. I find that hilarious. Unfortunately, very detrimental for some. But low-dose aspirin, hypertension medications like diuretics, ACE inhibitors, beta blockers, etc., anti-injection or immune suppressant drugs that are often used for, say, an organ transplant, they can cause high uric acid levels. Surgery, trauma, and note, vaccinations can all trigger a gout event. Family history is often an issue. Certainly it plays a factor, but that's probably due to the fact that children have a similar diet to their parents. Age and sex variables are also related. For instance, it's more commonly diagnosed in men than women. And in men, it's typically between the ages of 30 and 50, whereas with women, if they do get it, tends to be after menopause. So now that we know that it hurts, we know that it's usually attributed to the uric acid buildup causing crystals, and we know a bit about the medical condition, what causes it? What can we do? Actually, we've looked at what can cause it. What can we do to treat it, to eliminate it, to prevent it? Well, number one is looking at the diet. Golly gee whiz, I bet you didn't bet on that. That's a dumb joke. Okay, so yes, we have to look at the diet. And so what do? We reduce foods that are high in purines, and we reduce foods that are high inflammatory foods. What would that include? Well, I'm sure you all have an idea of those foods. High purine foods include red meats, especially the liver, but all meats, deli meats, and even gravy. Seafood like anchovies and sardines and mussels and scallops and tuna and oysters and shrimp. We want to avoid the simple and refined carbs. They make the inflammatory system worse, and, of course, they convert into sugars, and sugars make pain worse. We want to avoid the fried foods. We want to avoid the hydrogenated oils like corn oil and canola oil and soybean oil. As an aside, I avoid anything to do with soy because 92% of soy is, in fact, GMO. And we know that even when they say non-GMO, that it is not regulated. So, you know, I don't take the chance. I just avoid soy. I actually got an argument on this with in naturopathic school. One of the other students said, oh, Holly, don't be ridiculous. You know, the Chinese have been using soy for thousands of years and they don't have the problems. Yeah, well, they only use minor amounts. They didn't use the amounts that people often use, especially vegetarians and vegans in Western world. And they use it in, like, soy sauce, right? Where it was processed in a given way that the body could handle. So smaller amounts and different processing than we tend to use. Vegans and vegetarians tend to eat a lot of tofu. They eat a lot of soy products, and that's just not healthy. Okay, alcohol and other drinks, soft drinks, energy drinks, any of the drinks that are high in sugar you want to avoid. Foods high in sodium, which, of course, can increase swelling and symptoms. Number two would be increasing the water intake. Now, why would hydration be so important here is to help the kidneys filter out the excess uric acid, the excess purines. Now, foods you want to include in your diet, now, there's just so many of them, drinking lemon water. Citric acid in the lemon is fantastic, and I've explained many times, when you make your own lemon water, We try to buy organic, hoping it's as organic as possible. You cut off, wash it obviously, cut off the ends, and then use the rest, the pulp, the inner rind, the outer rind, the seeds. And remember that with most foods, the highest nutrient components is in the seeds. When you're looking at things like citrus fruits, watermelon, et cetera, you want that white rind. And if you can, even the outer rind has phenomenal. I mean, think about it. That outer rind for the plant, for the fruit, is protecting it from various pathogens. So it has a lot of immune factors in it. Well, you want those immune factors in you, too. The most common food, I think, that's associated with gout is cherry. It used to be you could only, you know, should eat the black cherries, the sour cherry juice, et cetera, but any of the cherries, they all have anthocyanins, which is a polyphenol, also in chocolate, by the way. So chocolate is good, real chocolate. But it doesn't matter what kind of cherries. Just eat a lot of cherries. And those anthocyanins are actually stored in the body. So if you eat enough cherries during the summer, it will protect you all year round. Good reason for growing some cherry trees in your yard. Holy cow. What about ginger root? Ginger can be fantastic to help regulate the uric acid. You can make it into a tea, shred it into a pot of water, bring it to a boil and then simmer it. You can add some of your lemon juice. You can add some raw, real honey. There's a variety of things you can do with that ginger, as well as, of course, putting it in various different dishes. Apple cider vinegar. Take a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar in a glass of water. Drink 2 or 3 glasses a day. That can be of help. Your foods, high in vitamin C. Well, we're going to go over that so many times today. I think I left it out there. But, you know, the one that I always suggest is red bell peppers. Now, bell peppers have good vitamin C in them. But of all the red bell peppers, of all the bell peppers, your red bell pepper is the highest in vitamin C. And as an additional note, most oranges don't have any vitamin C anymore. The reason for that is because there's no magnesium in the soils, and they need magnesium in order to make your vitamin C. In fact, they need magnesium to make a lot of things. That is why so many foods are nutrient deficient, is predominantly because of the magnesium. Still calcium in the soils, there's still sodium, there's still other things in the soil, but most agricultural soils tend to be depleted in magnesium, and plants need that magnesium, just like we do, to make a variety of other things. So just keep that in mind. Good reason to grow your own garden. I say that over and over again. So guess what? Our next item is foods high in magnesium. Now, you can take magnesium. You can soak in things like Epsom salts, a variety of ways. Note that there are 13 different types of magnesium. Only a few are bioavailable. There is a new product on the market. It has seven different types of magnesium stabilized in the one capsule. So that's really, really good. Foods high in fiber, Granny Smith apples, raw carrots, broccoli, cauliflower, even your seeds and your nuts, they all have good fiber, and fiber helps as well. Foods high in potassium, coconut. Now, you know that if you have a kidney issue, you have to be careful with your potassium. So, you know, the one basic thing they always say to people is get rid of the bananas if you have a kidney issue. Just one second. I'm just having to put in a notation here. Foods high in potassium, we said the coconut, salmon, squash, and bananas, but not if you're high, if you have a kidney issue, be very careful with. Now, your body converts uric acids into the crystals, but the potassium puts it into a liquid, okay? And foods high in potassium tend to be high in vitamin C, both of which are obviously good for you. Now, one that you may not have heard is the malic acid. So your Granny Smith apples in particular, although I think all apples have malic acid, but they're high in Granny Smith apples, watermelon, bananas, your citrus fruit, et cetera. Malic acid is really good in preventing uric acid buildup. Baking soda is another item you can use. You can actually reduce your uric acid by simply taking a half a teaspoon of baking soda in a glass of water and drink that about 4 times a day, several days, and that can decrease your uric acid as well. Another one that can help is celery seed extract. Note I didn't say celery. It's the celery seed. So if you want planting your celery in your garden, keep the stalks that you want to use in your salads, your omelets, or whatever, but leave a few to go to seed because it's that celery seed that has the compound. Fish oils. Now, with fish oils, they're really good. They have the omega-3s in them. We used to always say salmon was good for you until the radiation that was pouring out of Japan and still is, apparently. So what we want to eat instead of salmon is your steelhead trout. But all your good, healthy fish are a positive. And you can get good omega fish oils, omega-3 fish oils, but you have to be careful. Where are they getting the fish from? So always check the labels, check the product, make sure that it's a good, healthy product and not just junk and crap that you're taking. Bromelain is another compound. It's an enzyme. It's a high amount of it is in pineapple, but not the typical pineapple most people want to eat, not the tidbits or the rings. It's actually in the core. So when you buy pineapple, make sure that you're eating the core. That's where most of the bromelain is. Other anti-inflammatory foods, again, your fatty fish for your omega-3s, your berries. Avocados are fantastic. They have a similar ratio of omega-3, 6, and 9 to the body as the body does. Peppers, in particular, we said red bell peppers, grapes, turmeric, tomatoes, real chocolate. Lots of foods you can be eating. And there's even herbs, stinging nettles or urtica diosi, milk thistle, dandelion, activated charcoal, which is really good because it actually absorbs the uric acid. So you can use that either topically or in a bath. Beyond the diet, we have exercise and weight loss, golly gee whiz. But you want to choose low-impact activities. You don't want to do a lot of jumping with cardio-type things because that'll harm the joints that have the uric acid and be very, very painful. So you want to do things like stretching, walking, bicycling, swimming, Pilates, yoga, exercises that are kind to the joint. Okay, you want that blood moving. You want to lose the weight if you're overweight. But you want to be kind to the body. Now, Western allopathic medicine, what they would use is painkillers, typically the NSAIDs or over-the-counter painkillers like ibuprofen sounds funny. Advil to Aleve to Celebrex, they get increasingly more powerful. If you went to a prescription, that would be colchicine, which is an anti-inflammatory drug, or the corticosteroids for inflammation and pain. But note that the side effects of these drugs, especially your corticosteroids, are increased blood sugar levels and elevated blood pressure. So do you want to take the real thing or do you want to take the synthetic artificial stuff that causes extra problems? Big note there. You know what my bias is. Okay. Now, if I have a client coming in, I would do it a little bit differently, so I thought I would share that with you. What I get them to do is drink a cup of warm cup of warm water with a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar, a teaspoon of lemon juice, good turmeric that's already been dissolved into some avocado or coconut oil. Remember, number one, I say good turmeric because 80% of the world's sources of turmeric are toxic. Number two, in order to absorb those curcumoids in the turmeric, we need them to be connected to fat. So you want to dissolve the turmeric into avocado and or coconut oil. And in order to metabolize those curcumoids in the liver, you need pepperine compounds, so add some pepper. So you already in advance, you've warmed up the oil, you've added in the turmeric to make a paste, you've added in the pepper to taste, and then together you add that with your lemon juice, apple cider vinegar, and warm water. And you take that two or three glasses of that a day for a couple of days, and golly gee whiz, not only if you do that on a regular basis, like just take that protocol once a week, you will prevent gout from showing up again. Now, the other thing, of course, is to just walk. I don't care that you have to, you know, if you want to do particular exercises like yoga or Pilates, if you want to get involved when you can into more challenging exercises like aerobics or cardio or weightlifting, what have you can. But until that time, while the joints are still sore, just get out and walk. It helps the blood flow. It helps taking away the breakdown that you want to cause as well as bringing nutrient to the area to do the breakdown. Okay? All right, so that's my spiel on gout for today. So next to that, couldn't find what I did with it. We have a few questions. Where are my, here they are. I've got too many screens. I look all over the different screens for my articles. Okay, so the questions are just a few for today, so let's get into them. Rebecca in New York, is it worthwhile to screen DNA for diseases? Would we be able to help prevent them? Well, that really depends on your belief system. So let me go over why I would say that. They used to be taught your DNA was your DNA was your DNA, and then they started to realize, well, hold on a minute, DNA can act like off-on switches. That's a very simplistic analogy, but in essence. So if the switches are turned off, then we have a whole series of compounds, of herbs, et cetera, that we can use to turn them back on again. For instance, turmeric is known to turn on over 700 pine needle extract, which is why we use it with the jab shots, remember? If you've got the third, the one that has the actual mRNA, the spike protein, the graphene oxide in it, then we're typically putting you on a pine needle extract. That pine needle extract may be 10 drops, 1, 2, 3 times a day, up to 30 drops 3 times a day, depending on how much of your DNA has been shifted. Now, we know that with the jab, your DNA can be altered within 6 hours. That's huge. But again, did you get the saline solution? Did you get the annual flu shot? Or did you actually get the one with the mRNA in it? So apart from the turmeric and the pine needle extract, we also have things like quercetin, resveratrol, the EGCG that green tea is known for, the berberine, the ginseng. Ginseng compounds are found in soy. So we do use that, but we've got our own soy that we make sure that it's good, clean soy. And glutathione, just to name a few of compounds and or products, foods that alter your DNA, which is why they can be so useful in so many of the cancers, turning what's called apoptosis or pre-programmed cellular death. These different herbs and compounds can actually turn that back on in a cancer cell. So in cancer cells, apoptosis is turned off. That's a really good example. And we use various things, in particular turmeric, in that situation to turn apoptosis back on again so the cells can actually die. Okay, so on the other hand, if you're like me and you don't make various genes, so I have a problem with my third chromosome, and on that third chromosome, there's a variety of genes I don't make. Consequently, there's neurotransmitters, enzymes, and hormones I don't make. We have no idea how to get the body to turn on genes it's never made before. So despite the fact many physicians have said to me, theoretically, I should be dead, apparently what's going on is I have a lot of what's called shadow DNA. So in that situation, your body can use shadow DNA to work around, compensate through doing so that it can continue functioning effectively. Now, there's a whole other issue going on here, and that's Dr. David Martin's work, which I just love. He goes way further than I did in terms of the pandemic and the patents and the what have you. I had seen several of them, but he has identified over 4,000 different patents with regard to the coronavirus, 193 patents with regard to the spike protein, et cetera. He's gone, has the panels and the videos and stuff that it's just absolutely fascinating with regard to the pandemic, that the human species can be so detrimental to one another and just so psychopathic, it's unbelievable. But having said all that, what he also says about the DNA and the double helix is that, number one, Cripps and Watson, who were given the Nobel Prize, what was it, 1953 or something, I can't remember, for identifying the double helix of the that had the DNA, or that was the DNA structure, if you want, had never been in a laboratory. I was taught that they had identified it in a laboratory, but David says, no, they were never, ever in a laboratory. In fact, he claims, I have no proof one way or the other, but David claims that came out of an LSD high, and apparently was an LSD connoisseur, came into the kitchen and asked his wife, who was an artist, you know, that double helix that we see in all the different, or so many different ancient cultures, well, let's diagram that and use that as the double helix of DNA. Oh, okay. I have no way to prove that one way or the other, but that's interesting. Further, he goes on to say he's proven in his laboratory that DNA is not chemical-based, but in fact a vibrational frequency. So it picks up on frequencies, and he identifies the various frequencies that are important to us that it does pick up, and how, this is really, really important, how 5G interrupts those vibrational frequencies. Presumably 3 and 4G do as well. So all the more reason to get good, strong vibrational frequencies, electromagnetic frequencies from the earth to strengthen your body and help your body work function effectively. Okay, so that's the whole thing about give you a variety of different ways of looking at DNA, as well as is it of any impact. Yes, we have a variety of things we can use to turn on and turn off, as well as I should have said, all the different types of toxins we have in our diet, in our cleaning, in our hygiene, in our air, in our water supplies, et cetera, all help to turn off DNA, which is why we need to turn it back on again with healthy food. Okay? So a lot of different components to your question. Take it and work it and do what you want with it. All the power to you. Okay, let's move on to Wendy in Toronto. What can be done to fix the hair? This has become a huge issue lately. I mean, before it was an issue, especially for women. You know, men, if they lost it, it wasn't such a big deal. But for women, when they lose their hair, it's a phenomenally big deal. And it has become increasingly an issue over the last 6 months, per se, maybe a little longer. Maybe not the primary issue that people come in with, but I would bet 1 out of 3 clients that come into my office have that as a symptom, if not their primary symptom, that they're losing their hair in handfuls. And why? And it's really interesting because all of a sudden I started losing mine too. And within just a couple months, I have half the, I used to have an incredulously thick head of hair, always did have. And now you can actually see my scalp in some areas. It's like, holy cow, never seen this before. What the heck is going on? But we have done a number of presentations over the years, and in fact, even in the last month or so, on hair loss. So there's a variety of things that can be attributed to it. It could be inflammation in the hair follicles, infection causing the inflammation in the hair follicles. It could be nutrient deficiencies, a number of B vitamins, B1, 2, 3, 7, 9, 12, thing. Maybe not 9, 7 and 12. Vitamin C, D3, iron, selenium, zinc. It could be amino acids like lysine. And there's a variety of ways, you know, you can look at those different things and build them up in your diet or take supplements for them. If it's the amino acids, I'd prefer if you took a really, really, really good hemp oil. Hemp oil has all your amino acids in it. If it's an infection, you can use things like a neem shampoo and a neem conditioner, which clean mine up right away, which I'm very grateful for. For some people, if the inflammation doesn't clean up that fast or they haven't used the shampoo and conditioner, so what they use, I get them to do is coconut oil. Put it on, put it over your scalp. Now, you can put it on for 20, 30 minutes. You can put a shower cap on, leave it on overnight, wash it out in the morning. You don't want to do that more than 3 nights in a row because you don't want to kill the good bacteria on your skin or your scalp. So after you've done it for a couple of nights in a row, then do it every 2 or 3 nights. That has helped wonders for a lot of people, and that's a pretty cheap, easy way of doing it. Some people have it's worked with the vitamin supplements, but the big thing now is there's graphene oxide being used, nanoparticling of graphene oxide in your shampoos and conditioners. And guess what that's being linked to? Loss of hair loss. Hair loss. Holy cow. Oh, and there's another one that can cause it as well that's been linked to it, and that's having your cell phone in your bedroom overnight. Get it off your head when you're talking. Put it on a speakerphone. Keep it away from your head. And number two, when you go to sleep at night, get it out of the bedroom. Leave it down in the kitchen. Get it out of the bedroom. Okay? So those are the issues that can cause hair loss. And getting those nutrients in is a great way to rebuild your body's capacity. My hair is actually regrowing. What I'm doing is, in addition to the neem, neem is full of nutrients. So when I wash my hair with the neem shampoo, I leave that neem shampoo on for quite a few minutes. I don't wash it out. I leave it on. Then when, after I've washed it out, of course, I put the conditioner on, and I leave that on for quite a few minutes. Neem is hugely nutrient-dense. It's fantastic, by the way, for your gardens. It's the internationally renowned thing to use to give strength to your plants, to the leaves. It helps them to be greener and shinier and full of nutrient. And it's really good for as an antimicrobial of all different types. So work with that neem with your hair as well. So hopefully that gives you a variety of things to do to fix your thinning hair. Understand it could be nutrient, it could be chemical. We've gone in other articles, I've talked an awful lot more about lead and aluminum and a variety of other toxic chemicals in our food and what have you, but that is the short story. By the way, if anybody doesn't know, all these articles every week, Nicole archives them. So if you want to go back into newsforthesoul.com, go to the Dr. Holly Whole Health Initiative. You can find all the articles archived there. Okay? All right. So now we're going to go to Cindy to an, is there a way to restore ourselves to a younger, less wrinkled skin using supplements? Well, yeah, there is, actually. There's a variety of them. Give you an example, when my mom was in her 80s, she had a carcinogenic compound, if you want to put carcinogenic marking, on her face. And while we use things like oils and turmeric to get rid of them, she has been incredibly wrinkled. She was always complaining that she had a turkey neck, and the wrinkles on her face, she was far more wrinkled than my father, and it always bothered her. And yet, in her late 80s, we got rid of all her wrinkles using all these oils to get rid of the carcinogenic spot on her face. So that's kind of interesting. But there's all kinds of different collagens. And the body has over 29 different types of collagen. Collagen 1 is the most predominant, but we do have a variety of them. And there's now a product on the market that has 5 different types of collagen in it. But you can find nutrients to make collagen in your food, of course. Yogurt, sunflower seeds, sesame seeds, almonds, cashews, mushrooms, Swiss chard, kale, spinach, they all have compounds that support your body to make collagen. So wrinkled is just your collagen breaking down, right? In order to make collagen specifically, you need sulfur, garlic family. We've talked about that many times, 350 nutrients in garlic, and 33 of them are sulfuric compounds. But sulfuric compounds are also found in beef, poultry, eggs, your cruciferous vegetables, your broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, kale, etc. It requires vitamin C. So again, we look at the citrus, the berries, the kale, the peppers. Remember your red bell pepper, tomatoes, and broccoli. And it also requires zinc. Great place to find zinc is chocolate, spinach, cashews, and lentils. It also needs a silicon, so we go back to cherries and apples, beets, figs, strawberries, tomatoes, cucumber, celery, potatoes, copper. Copper, again, found in, what's copper found? Just drew a blank. Seeds, sunflower seeds, sesame seeds, almonds, cashews, Swiss chard again, kale and spinach, cocoa. Bone broth, make sure if you're making bone broth, you're getting it from good, healthy chicken and not either beef or chicken that has been injected with a bunch of stuff. You don't want that. Amino acids, your lysine, proline, and leucine are all required, and they are all found in hemp oil. So again, remember your hemp oil. You have to have really good, healthy hemp oil. If you don't, you're getting deprived of your amino acids and toxicity that you don't want. So when people buy it through me, we make sure that the soil samples are good. We make sure that the processing and the bottling of it is all keeping your hemp and your amino acids in the hemp in good condition and available for you. Okay, I'm talking kind of funny here, so I'm looking to find my gardening article. There it is. So today we looked at gout. What can you grow in the garden to prevent or eliminate gout attacks? Well, number one, we talked about cherry. Grow your cherry trees. There's cherry trees even for the lower mainland, which we have a lot of water, so there's various cherry trees you can grow that are water resistant. Your big cherries, you know, we have 4 different types of cherries in our yard, cherry trees. Find one that works in your environment and grow your cherries. They're fantastic. Another one that's really, really good It has the same polyphenol that the cherries has. The anthocyanin is really good chocolate. Now, unless you're living in a tropical area, I don't think you're going to be able to grow chocolate, but you can grow the cherry trees. Foods that are high in your vitamin C. Again, we come back to talk the red bell peppers. All the peppers do have good vitamin C, but the red bell peppers are the best. Bell peppers are so easy to grow. You can grow them on your deck in containers. You can grow them in the garden. Just make sure you're growing them. Oh, by the way, we are putting together, it's almost completed, a garden garage so that we can teach people how to grow a garden in your garage so that you have a garden over the winter with good healthy food, nutrient dense, and depleted of toxins. Now, that doesn't have to be in the garage, of course. It could be in the spare room, a den, an office, whatever. But we're doing it in the garage so people can see how you can use grow lights to grow your own food over the winter. You also want foods high in potassium, we said. So squashes, all your different types of squashes you can grow in the northern climates. You need more tropical climates for your bananas and your coconut. I don't know that we can do that in the north. I've never seen that done. I'm sure someone might have found some way, but not for us. Okay. Let's see. Foods high in malic acid. Now, we talked about malic acid breaking down the uric acid, and we can grow melons, watermelons, Granny Smith apples. We can do all those here in the north as well as you can do it in the south. Your anti-inflammatory foods, you can grow your berries, tomatoes, broccoli, avocados. Remember we talked about the three different layers of avocados, ratios, omega-3, 6, and 9. But for avocados, you can take the stone out of an avocado and grow plants really easy with that stone. But in order for those plants to actually produce fruit, you need your mason bees. So don't forget about your mason bees. Grapes. We have along 40 feet worth of trellises for the grapes, both sides of our garden. So there's like 80 feet worth with rings, lower, medium, and high that the grape vines grow along. So and I think I had 8 different types of grapes, maybe more than that. So lots of different types of grapes you can grow. Turmeric and ginger, like the chocolate, is easier to grow in the tropics than it is here, but you can work with mushrooms and grow mushrooms here as well. A variety of different mushrooms. The ones that we grow are the lion king, the turkey tail, the oyster, blue oyster, king oyster, pearl oyster, turkey tail. Shaga I would love to grow, except we don't have any trees on the property I could grow shaga mushrooms on. Well, I think that's it. But they're all good for you. Celery, you can grow celery so easily. Keep cutting off the stalks, but leave a few of those stalks to turn to seeds because the seeds are fantastic. Okay, remember when working in the garden, it not only allows you to grow your own good, healthy food, nutrient-dense, a heck of a lot cheaper. You'll note that there's a lot of fiber in your food when you grow it yourself, a lot more so than what you find. Now it's like, oh, the stuff at the superstore or grocery store or whatever, it's so soft. Like, you want good, fibrous food, grow it in your garden. The other thing is, as you're working in the garden, you're picking up all those electromagnetic currencies from the earth that are incredibly healthy and will protect you against things like the 3G, 4G, and 5G that are so unhealthy for you. So, not only that, but of course, nutrient dense and toxicity free. Holy cow, good reason. All right, so that's it for today. Ooh, we finished early. Holy cow, that's 2 weeks in a row we finished early. All right, so I'm Dr. Holly with Choices Unlimited for Health and Wellness. My website is Choices Unlimited for Health and Wellness. And it took me ages to take down and save all the 980 articles plus that I had on the website. But in that process, because of this whole COVID narrative, we decided not to put up another website, not to put up all the articles, because then that way I would get tagged. So I don't go on Facebook, I don't go on Twitter, LinkedIn. I haven't been on those programs for over 3 years, actually, before the narrative came. The COVID narrative started. And the reason for that is because they're all so corrupt. And I just found too many lawsuits against them. And holy cow, then what I saw during the COVID narrative was, no, I ain't going back on it. So I keep off so that I can protect places like this, newsforthesoul.com. Now, having said that, our producer, Nicole, said that out of all the people that go on News for the Soul, the one person that gets the articles taken down, excuse me, was me. And she had to keep replacing it, keep replacing, keep replacing. So we came to the decision that I wouldn't have an article specifically focused on one of the COVID narratives as much as I did that for 2 years. Now we would just address that verbally as opposed to putting it in any written form. So you guys get as much information, reliable information, real information, as opposed to all the crap that's put out there, which is really, really sad. Unfortunately, it's made a really bad reputation, not just for medical sciences, but sciences in general, that it's all politically driven, financially driven. It is not based on real science anymore. The whole concept of real science has just gone down the drain. It's politically driven, and it is financially driven. So guess who controls it? Just like the media. Guess who can, you know, at one time we believed that the media actually was there to tell the truth, the facts, the real story, and let you make up your mind about how you, you know, want to deal with it. But we know now that the media is all bought and paid for as well. So we have to go to private media and alternative media in order to get real information. Very, very sad story about our society. But what we want to remember is that no matter how devastating, you go down that rabbit hole and find out more and more and more things were lied about or corrupted or whatever, what do we want to do with it all? Well, we're in a state of chaos. And there's 7 different theories of chaos, but the one common denominator is that for any system to evolve, to move forward, to grow, to expand, it needs to put the old system into chaos. And that's what we have. The old system is going into chaos. People are waking up around the world to realize how corrupt that old system is, and working together in so many different ways and fields and layers and addressing that corruption so that we can eliminate it and move on to a higher level of functioning, whether it be financially or spiritually, whether it be physically, mentally, or emotionally. On all levels of life, we want to move forward. We want to move higher into a higher plane of functioning. So use all your thoughts, your prayers, your meditations, your creative imagery, whatever you have, to create that higher level of functioning where we are all more spiritual people, where we are more compassionate, understanding people, and where we want to support and respect one another, not take advantage and eliminate one another. Okay? So I hope you do that. I hope you spend the rest of your life doing that. And I wish you all the very best of the week. Hope you got some information from this program, this broadcast today, and hope that you will make it a great day. Take good care. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.